Good morning and welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I'm Amy Otta, this morning joined by Mike Levine. Welcome.
Thank you, Amy. Great to be here again.
You know, Lee Cantor's back there doing the soundboard, and it's kind of funny to see him without a microphone in front of his face, but I'm kind of enjoying having a new co-host today. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, it's a beautiful day in Atlanta.
So, Mike, this week my life has changed for good.
Why is that, Amy?
I was at a boring insurance event, and you know what they do to get people to stay to the end of them now?
What do they do?
They have raffles, and guess what I won?
What did you win?
An iPad!
Sweet!
I know. For someone who's never had an iPhone or a Mac, I've had so much fun playing around. So it was last Wednesday night, so I'm now a week into it, and I've decided that I'm probably becoming a little antisocial.
Well, you know.
Yeah, I've been playing Yahtzee with myself, going online, doing all kinds of stuff. But it's a good thing. It's also opened my eyes to a lot of different technology. We've got some great guests this morning. We always like to start the show with an event coming up. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show this morning, Jeff Graves. Welcome.
Thank you.
So tell us what's going on. What's coming up that we have to look forward to?
On October 3rd, we have a half marathon. It is called 13.1 Marathon. It is second annual. We'll have 4,000 half marathoners and 5Kers starting at Oglethorpe University in Hidden Streets of Atlanta. So we're looking forward to a great event.
You know, I knew about that. My son's a Boy Scout, and they're doing a water station.
Absolutely. We have over 500 volunteers out there helping us produce the event, from being course marshals to water station folks to giving out food at the finish line.
So tell us more about the event. Like, even the water stations are organized a little bit differently. Like, there's a competition for the best watering station, and we've been planning on this.
Absolutely. We have a lot of things going on with the runners. Registration is still available. There's cool things that happen that are a little different than most races. We'll have lots of entertainment groups along the course, great band at the finish line. Runners will be treated this year when they cross the finish line to Highland Bakery. Is going to give them all sausage biscuits and coffee when they finish, which is a new twist. Last year we did barbecue sandwiches. This year it's Highland Bakery. For the groups out on the course, like the water stations, there is a competition. We'll be judging them. The runners will be judging them. And then there'll be cash prizes awarded for charities. So it's a neat opportunity for families to get out and either do the half marathon, run the 5K, or come out and volunteer. Or we always love spectators out on the course to cheer on those runners when you're going 13.1 miles.
Are there sponsorships still available?
Sponsorships are still available. If you go to 13.1 Atlanta, you can get all the information. That's our website. And love for people to check out sponsorships, volunteering, and obviously participating.
I love those bumper stickers. I see those all over now, the 13.1.
Yep.
So Atlanta seems like a big running town.
It is a great running town. You know, not only do we have 13.1 here coming up on October 3rd, but we've got the Georgia Marathon, which is March 20th. And that that event is going into its fifth year already, and that will have around 18,000 participants in just its fifth year, which is fantastic. So we've got the 5K kids run, marathon, half marathon, a little something for everybody with that event.
You've been doing events for a long time.
Yes, been doing running events specifically. Also dabbled in radio at one point in time.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So sponsorships are still available. Is there anybody you need to give credit to that's been stepping up to the plate and already sponsoring?
We've got some good sponsors. We are we're looking hopefully here in the next week or so to announce possibly a new title sponsor for the race. ING was our sponsor for the first 4 years, and we're very close to making an announcement on a new title sponsor. So stay tuned to that. Hopefully you'll be hearing some big news next week on that.
Terrific. Maybe we should be announcing that on the Atlanta Business Radio Show.
So maybe we should.
Our listeners need to tune in. Any final thoughts? Any other details for our listeners?
Basically, for the 13.1, go to 13.1 Atlanta. Check out the website. Register. Registration is still open. And registration is currently open also for the Georgia Marathon at georgiamarathon.com.
Terrific. Thanks for being our guest this morning.
Thank you so much.
All right. Our next guest, we have Bonnie from BBR Marketing. And Bonnie, I'm going to let you say your last name because I have a habit of butchering names.
That's no problem at all. Everybody has trouble with that. It's actually pronounced Resic, which is incredibly easy to say. But if you listeners out there could see how it's spelled, you'd understand why the hesitation on Mike's part.
Great. Well, I invited Bonnie on today because really this segment of the show, I want to talk about companies that are making a difference in Atlanta. And specifically, small companies are the backbone of America. They face hurdles, and each brings a unique value proposition. So to kind of kick things off, Bonnie, why don't you tell us a little bit about BBR Marketing?
Sure. BBR Marketing just celebrated its one-year anniversary recently. I started the company because I've always wanted to kind of do my own thing. I had 20 years of marketing experience, but really wanted to give it a shot. So I work specifically with professional services providers. So my clients are accountants, attorneys, consultants, engineers, those types of people. And I help them develop their marketing strategy and then also deliver the tactics that they need to reach their audiences, whether that be websites or, you know, I ghostwrite a lot of articles, collateral materials, branding, all those sort of things that fall under that larger marketing umbrella, even down to social media.
You know, how has the economy affected your business at all? I mean, that's one thing that people sometimes will scale back on is marketing, but really they shouldn't. So how has that affected you?
You know, it's interesting. The economy has somewhat played in my favor, only because I started my company in 2009, and there were those people that are like, you must be absolutely insane to do this. But because of the fact I have 20 years of experience, but, you know, I also am a one-person company. I bring in vendors as needed so I can compete and offer lower prices. The other side of that is my clients, a lot of them are the smaller to mid-sized firms, and until the economy took the dip, they really had grown purely on referrals. So the economy affected them in a negative way and made them think about the fact that, oh, maybe we need to think about doing a little bit of marketing. So for me personally, it's not been a negative thing, though for my clients it has in some ways.
Awesome. Well, I know some trends of what are some of the trends that you're noticing in marketing, both on the national and more specifically in the local level here in Atlanta?
I would say, and keep in mind, I work mostly with service providers, so they're not always the bleeding edge on technology in any way. But social media, everybody is like, ooh, tell me about what is this Twitter thing I keep hearing about? And, you know, everybody is looking for opportunities to market their companies in ways that are inexpensive and in a way that they can reach a lot of people, and suddenly they're starting to get interested in social media. And, you know, they're a little later to the game than I would say, you know, B2C companies have been, and even some business product companies, but they're definitely jumping on that. The other thing is websites, believe it or not. A lot of my clients and a lot of the companies I meet with put up a website 10 years ago and haven't touched it since. So, you know, they're like, wait, we can do more with that than just have it be our electronic brochure. So there's a lot of interest in expanding and getting more out of that medium as well.
I would think so too, that with the service providers, that would be huge. I know I just recently took my laptop and my son's laptop in for service, and it was such a positive experience. So as soon as I left, I tweeted about it. And then not even 3 hours later, they called me back and said, we're giving you a $75 credit for just the traffic we've gotten from me tweeting about the incredible experience. I mean, and it took me very little effort.
Yep.
But yet, you know, people found out very quickly that I was a satisfied customer and how awesome it was.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of it is taking it out of the scary technology state of mind and putting it in the, it's just another way for word of mouth to spread.
Right.
Because these people are used to word of mouth. You know, they love that. That's how they've gotten most of their business. And it's just kind of communicating the way that, okay, this is just a different way to communicate. It's not the scary technology thing.
Are there any examples you can maybe walk us through? I know our listeners love to hear stories. And if you could paint a picture maybe for somebody that you've helped, maybe a recent client that you've seen obstacles and how you've helped them through it.
Yeah, absolutely. I wind up working with a lot of solopreneurs in part because I am one myself, and I understand that whole, you know, mentality. And I love helping people launch their businesses and kind of see their dreams come true. So I recently worked with a woman who provides outsourced CFO services. And I don't know if you know much about that, but there's tons of people out there doing that now. You know, any accountants, a lot of those folks who kind of got laid off from larger firms are like, I'm going to do my own thing. And, you know, just I recently sat down with her and we had a 4-hour session where we just kind of really slammed through and put together a marketing plan about, you know, what sets you apart? You know, who are your audiences? What industries do you want to go after? Because, you know, to stand apart in a market that's that saturated, you really, really have to target. And, you know, I'm helping her, you know, giving her advice on a website, and she's getting some speaking opportunities. And, you know, she's seen, you know, what was just a startup company less than a year ago, and now she's reaching a point where she's almost thinking about hiring somebody. So, but it's, and of course, not all of that has been her marketing strategy. A lot of that's been, you know, her work as well. But it, helping her focus has really, really helped her grow her company in a way that's fantastic.
I would think in some respects, too, just having someone outside of the industry, outside of their box, helping them think outside the box would be very helpful.
Yeah, I mean, I've actually, my job prior to starting my company was the marketing director for an accounting firm. So the interesting thing, I think, and one of the things my clients seem to like is the fact that I have worked for firms, so I know how it works. I know the ups and downs. I know the challenges they face. But yet I also come at it from the marketing perspective. And that was one of the things. It's hard to judge your own company. It's hard to create strategy sometimes because you're so close to it. So having somebody on the outside ask some hard questions and make you focus is, as usually most people find that very useful.
Great information.
I know, Bonnie, you said that you work a lot with solopreneurs. Are you finding because of the economy today that people are getting laid off or taking packages and looking to put their skills to use for themselves rather than other people?
I'm amazed by how much I'm seeing that, actually. There's even a phrase that I've heard recently tossed around is the idea of the corporate refugee. You know, the, all these people that have spent, you know, large parts of their career in a corporate environment that, you know, have wound up unemployed because of the economy or whatever other reasons, and have said, you know what, I'm just going to give it a shot. Worst case scenario, I fall flat on my face and I wind up looking for a job, but I would be doing that anyway, so let's just see what happens. And it's exciting, the energy that these people bring to their new companies.
And what would you say is your niche or your differentiator from other marketing firms?
Specifically, I would say the fact that I target only professional services providers. Mm-hmm. So I come at that with some experience that a lot of others don't necessarily have. It's a very different sort of market, and marketing them effectively is, there's different challenges. The other thing is, you know, I've been doing this a long time, but I have, so I'm a one-person company, but I have fantastic vendors. So depending on the project, I can bring in and create the team that, you know, you need for your job without you paying for something that you don't need to get.
And again, tell us, and so our listeners know, who would be your top clients or your top prospects? Who's listening now that really needs to call you?
I would say the ideal client is usually the, you know, smaller firm, whether it's law firm, engineering, accounting, that has, you know, maybe somewhere between 3 and 10 partners, less than 50 people, who doesn't need a full-time marketing person.
Okay.
And for those firms specifically, a lot of times I'll kind of serve as that outsourced marketing director. So they get the experience and they can really compete in their markets, but yet they're not paying a full-time salary to somebody that they don't need full-time.
And how can folks reach you?
My website is bbrmarketing.com, and my email address is bonnie@bbrmarketing.com.
Terrific. Thanks for being our guest this morning.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Bonnie. Next guest I have up is good friend Josh Brandt over from Air Reliance Service. Welcome, Josh.
Hey, Mike.
So, Josh, you made the trip in from Ackworth, and I heard on the traffic, that didn't sound like a good trip this morning.
Is it ever good?
Well, I know. I was listening to the traffic report and wondering if I was going to make it here from the airport in time, but that sounded really messy up there. So thanks for making the trip. So tell us a little bit about Air Reliant.
Air Reliant is a full-service commercial and residential heating and cooling company. that takes care of service, maintenance, repairs, replacements, comfort products such as humidifiers, dehumidifiers, and so on, as well as energy efficiency upgrades such as attic insulation and duct sealing.
I don't have any ducts in my ceiling, I don't think. I keep all my stuffed ducks in the basement. But, you know, it's, I bet you're busy over the summer because it has been so hot in Atlanta. But it seems like people don't think about your types of services until something breaks. How often does someone need to have you come out?
That is probably true. Really, we need to be coming out twice a year. We need to be coming out in the spring to get a system tuned up for the summer. And then once again in the winter, or in the fall, to prepare you for the winter.
So tell us a little bit about, like, maybe the history of your company and how things have changed in your business.
Well, that's a great question. The owner's been in the industry for over 40 years. He retired from Trane several years ago, but he loves the industry and has a unique approach to running a service business. So we decided to start Air Reliant in early 2009. He just wanted to better serve homeowners and businesses around Metro Atlanta. Much like Bonnie, people thought we were crazy for starting a company in the middle of a tough economy. We found it to be fantastic.
And what differentiates you from the other folks that do something similar to your service?
I love it when that question is asked. Many HVAC companies perform the same type of service we do, but they do it a little bit differently. They perform service and maintenance for their customers in order to look for reasons to replace equipment. They do it because the revenue associated with equipment replacements is much greater than with repairs. It's a very short-sighted attitude, though. The lifetime value of a customer is much greater if you choose to do the right thing and offer to repair equipment in replacing it when the customer requests you to do so. Bottom line is our service technicians are trustworthy, they're honest, we don't incent them to sell equipment or to sell services, they're there to be the customer advocate.
I will definitely say that that's the case when it comes to, like, pest control, air conditioning. When people are on time, there's nothing worse than when someone just doesn't show up. So, yeah, I would think in that service space, that's great. And I do have a relationship with my pest guy. I mean, I look forward to them coming out regularly. I think I might need the air conditioning guy, too.
Absolutely.
So you mentioned something about the dehumidifier. What is up with the fact that we have so much humidity in Atlanta? I mean, I can change that dehumidifier, and I just have a cheap one that I plug in my office. Where does that all come from? It's full after, you know, 3 hours.
It's called infiltration. I don't want to get too technical here because we'll bore everyone listening. But the reality of it is a dehumidifier really is a Band-Aid. There's a better way to serve and treat a specific problem like infiltration, humidity, and so forth. As a service from our company, we offer to come out and try to diagnose the cause of those problems for nothing. That's just an additional service that we offer. I can't control the humidity outside, but I can help you control it on the inside.
Interesting. Awesome. You know, talk to us a little bit about the attic issue. It seems like in Atlanta, most people do have an attic and a basement, unlike, you know, Florida and some other areas. So what are some of the things that I should look for in my house to know whether I need to call you?
Well, the first thing that you need to be looking for is whether or not your system is actually achieving the set point on your thermostat. If it seems to run an extended period of time, never really reaching that temperature, you probably need to give us a call. If you were to actually go up in your attic, which you mentioned the attic space specifically, if you can see the 2x4s that are supporting your ceiling,
mm-hmm.
you probably need attic insulation.
Okay.
Once again, you probably need to call us. Something a little easier to notice, if you're walking through your home and you notice on the edge of the carpet at the base of the walls, if you notice a little discoloration, mm-hmm. that's a sign of actual imbalanced air inside your home, which is caused by duct leakage, which I mentioned earlier. That is something that's very easily solved. A lot of carpet cleaning companies like to think that it's something that they need to clean. It's really something that we need to manage inside your home by managing the pressure. If you notice something like that, you probably need to give us a call.
I bet you have a relationship with the critter guys, because when you get up in the attic and you see the droppings, it's like, what's going on up there? There's a whole family of something living in the attic. So what do you do about that? If you're up there doing insulation and stuff and there are a bunch of flies, do you have a relationship with a critter guy?
I absolutely do. I've got a really great guy, Greenhouse Pest Management. He's a great friend of ours. He does a lot of great work for our customers. He's honest. He's trustworthy. He uses green products. I only recommend people I trust to be in my own home.
That's a good thing. Now, what's the craziest thing you've ever found in a home? We always ask that of home inspectors, and it's actually pretty boring. Like the last home inspector that was on here, it wasn't really anything all that exciting. Anything cool that you've ever found?
Cool or scary?
Both. How about the most interesting thing you've ever found?
What would your children think was the funnest thing you found?
Yeah. Well, I was accused of screaming like a 12-year-old girl once. Because I was down in a crawl space looking at some duct work, and there was actually a live possum.
Oh, they are the dumbest creatures on the planet. They move so slow. Actually, last week I was going out to get my mail, and as I'm walking out there, I'm like, what in the world is by my mailbox? And the thing is about a foot long, chasing its tail, this possum. And I've never seen a possum quite that close that's living, but it was going so slow, chasing its tail. I'm like, no wonder they get hit by cars. It was so slow and prehistoric looking.
Don't underestimate them, though. They can be mean. They can be really mean. Be very careful around possums.
Yeah, is it the teeth or what? I mean, what makes them so mean?
It's the claws and the teeth, and they're mean animals. They're scared because I don't think they're really smart.
They don't get any respect. No respect.
Now, was it playing possum or was it on to the next level?
It was actually playing possum at the time. As soon as I noticed it and I screamed, I got out of the crawl space so quickly that I have no idea what happened thereafter.
that would freak me out, definitely. Any snake stories? We've had so many snakes in Atlanta. I'm amazed at all the snakes.
You know, interestingly, I have personally, knock on wood, never approached a snake inside anyone's home. A possum, obviously, a number of rats and other disgusting type animals, but no snakes. No snakes.
I tell you, Josh, a couple of years ago when we had our unit replaced, the installers found a 6-foot snake skin underneath the old unit, and they took it out to their pickup truck, and they showed my kid, and he was all happy. My wife, not so happy.
Yeah, no, not so much, because you got to wonder where that one is.
Yep. Absolutely. At least it was outside.
And we always wonder why we didn't have that many chipmunks or squirrels running around. And I guess we know now.
That's right. No doubt. So any comments for our listeners, any thoughts as to, again, usually our listeners like stories and they like to know if I'm experiencing this pain, then that's who I need to call. So any stories or any pains that somebody would be encountering other than the fact that they're either hot or cold?
Well, specifically is high utility bills. Mm. High utility bills are obviously a tremendous pain for many of us today in this economy. We're all looking to lower our costs. One of the easiest way to lower your costs is to get everything that's inside your home running at peak efficiency and peak capacity. Our maintenance plan is a little different than most. Most maintenance companies come out and change a filter, kind of look it over, maybe check some things. Really not really getting a whole lot done for the customer. We go out with the sole intention of lowering your utilities and maximizing the capabilities of that equipment. We do a pre-test of the system. We do our maintenance, and then we do a post-test to make sure that we are actually lowering the watts used, to make sure that we are lowering the utility costs. Really just high utilities, and that's a year-round issue. We can affect that in the summer. We can affect it in the winter. You know, we would love to help people out. We help people out every day. We got a lot of friends in Metro Atlanta. We don't spend a dime to advertise our company at all. It's 100% referral-based. So you can't grow a company in a bad economy without doing the right thing for your customers is the way I see it. So our focus is to eliminate that pain, no matter what it is.
You know, a quick question, Josh, before you go. I know that I've seen 12-month filters advertised before. I mean, are those really good for 12 months, or is that – I mean, what's kind of your recommendation as a professional in this industry?
Well, there's so many different options of filtration. Most systems have a filter rack that holds a 1-inch filter. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, that is not anything. There is no filter out there that's set up to handle that for 1 year. That's something that you need to be checking it at a minimum of 30 days, changing it at a typical average of 60 days. But every home is different. I don't know if you've got pets. You may need to change the filter more often, depending on where the ductwork and where the equipment is located in the home. You may need to change it more often, which is why I kind of go by a rule of check it every 30 and at a maximum change it every 60.
I don't even think I know where mine is.
Oh, that's a little scary, Amy.
It is. Maybe my husband does.
Amy, but, call me.
But if you saw the amount of pet hair in my house and feathers and everything else, you would probably, I should probably be checking mine daily. And I don't even know where it is. Wow. So you don't know what you don't know. But I do know that our utility bills have been high. That was something that resonated with me. And, you know, I oftentimes wonder if maybe my house needs more than one unit, too. I know that you talked about the efficiency. That's something that you would come out and give a consultation type approach. Is that right?
Absolutely. I can come out and assess all your needs in terms of comfort and energy efficiency. And again, I won't charge anything to assess needs. If I need a service technician to come out and physically perform a service, then yes, there will be a cost associated with that. But to get a professional opinion, I charge nothing.
Terrific, Josh. Right. I've got a spot for you to visit. Come check out my ducks.
Thanks, Amy.
Thanks for being with us today, Josh. And again, give our listeners an email or a phone number so they know how they can reach you.
Absolutely. Thank you. We can be reached at 770-635-7041 or on the web at airreliantllc.com. Thanks for having me, Amy. Thanks, Mike.
Terrific. Thanks for being with us.
And next up, I've got Britt Bro from Mark Wright Utility Services. And Britt, welcome to the show today.
Thank you.
I met Britt a couple months ago, and I was fascinated by his business. And I don't do justice in describing it, but I just want to start off with, Britt, you know, how do you tell people, what exactly does Mark Wright Utility Services do? Share the story with us.
Well, basically, we do the work for the 811. They're the nonprofit organization, the Call Before You Dig. Mm-hmm. And we protect the utilities in the ground from people digging. And we just, all those orange marks and flags and yellow marks that everybody gets mad at, that's what we do. We put that down for them.
I've always wondered how that was laid out. So, I mean, how do you know? Is it a special tool that you run across the ground to find out where these things are underneath?
It is. It's radio detection, and there's all sorts of different types of equipment out there. That's the basic one used on the market. Most companies use that, and we conduct a signal on the if it's metal. If it's not metal, we have a lot harder time finding it, and sometimes can't be found. And there's some problems that lie there too. But we find different ways to find the utilities and protect them.
And you do this for both residential and commercial, or?
We mainly do it commercial, but residential we do. We can do it for people who need it. Usually the cost it incurs is so high to protect a utility based on the liability of it getting hit. Mm-hmm. But we find ways to help people find their water lines. A lot of people don't know that they own that water line between the meter and their house, and when it gets hit, they want to blame the water companies, but mm-hmm. It's theirs, and they have to pay for that kind of stuff. So we are more than happy to give a quote and come out and locate their water lines or even the sewer line. There's ways to find the sewer lines that people don't know that's there. So, yeah.
Like even like for tree removal and stump removal, I know I had a stump removed recently and I had to have it marked because they were probably protecting themselves so that when they went down, they didn't hit anything. So who commonly contacts you? I mean, it sounds like contractors would.
Well, they call the 811, the Call Before You Dig. That's the main number. That's all they have to do. It's a free call for them or any resident. They can call it and they get a hold of all the people, all the utility companies in that area. And we work for the utility companies, and the utility companies pay the cost of the one call because they're nonprofits. So the utilities are the ones who pick up that bill. And we work for the utility companies. We go out and protect, you know, those contractual lines that we have with those companies. And that's where residents can call us, too, to get their private lines located as well. especially when you get into gas lines. Some people do have their gas meters out by the road because they don't want people up around their house, which, you know, it's their property, but they have to pay for that gas line to their house. Well, they don't realize that it's not going to get located when they need to plant some trees or grind some stumps, like you were saying, and if it gets hit, that could cause some serious damage.
I would definitely think so. So how long have you been in the business?
I have been in this business. I started out as a locator out in the field, putting all those marks down and getting people upset with me 13 years ago. And I've just moved up. It's one of those industries that either it works for you or it doesn't. And it's a lower percentage that it doesn't work for. So, I mean, a higher percentage that it doesn't work for. Most people don't stay in the business very long. It's quite stressful, as you can imagine, because the utilities don't always cooperate with you trying to find them, and you can have a lot of problems, a lot of stress, and then go to bed or not being able to sleep because you wonder if you mislocated that gas line and if it's going to blow up tomorrow. And you've seen it on the news, and some of those locators have gone through that. But it's a job.
Yeah. And it sounds like one that you enjoy. Have you been doing it for 13 years?
Unfortunately, no. I do enjoy it. It's a challenge every day. There's something new every day. One locate is not the same to the next. A lot of people, you know, the theory of it is so simple. You think you just hook up to this and follow your equipment, but it's never that easy. It's always, you know, I can't figure this out. I mean, it gets into so many different aspects of polarity and, you know, I believe the moon has something to do with it, too, on some days.
Really? Because
there's just no way. It's like, this equipment's not going to work today. But there's a lot of challenges, but for me, it is a lot of fun. I like the challenge, and I've grown into business fast, and I've enjoyed it the whole way.
It really sounds to me that, like, it's part art, part science, a lot of experience in order to be successful in this type of business. And this is a really neat niche that you've carved for yourself. How do you go about marketing your services other than the 811? Do you have to form relationships with these utilities, or?
Well, that's exactly it. I've formed the relationships pretty much, you know, after a couple of years, start moving up in management, start going to conferences and trade shows and getting a part of the GUCC, which is the Georgia Utility Court Aid Committee, which is all the contractors and utilities form a group and a part of the board in Georgia that helps create some of the, getting the messages out to contractors. Call before you dig. Don't damage the utility. It could hurt somebody. It could hurt you. Just trying to get people to be safe and, protect them and the utilities.
Again, it's one of those industries where you don't know what you don't know. I mean, who would think? You don't really think about it before you dig that it could be potentially harmful. You think about the pain of hitting maybe your sprinkler system or something, but the gas lines, those are things I never really considered. Big, big deal. So where do you see yourself in 5 years?
I hope to keep doing this and growing. I don't want to be a big company. I like being a small business. I like having the touch on the company. I don't want to get so big that I'm not out in the field with these guys and still being involved. That's a part of it I enjoy. I actually hate office work, and I love being outside, out in the field. I love the sun, and if I can be out there all day and then cool off doing some paperwork, I'm happy with that.
Yeah. It sounds like a very capital intensive type of industry. As you get these projects, is there ever any cash flow problems, or are you finding, are banks more apt to help you out?
Well, it depends on the bank. I went to a few banks that didn't want to hear what I had to say. And then I did run into a local bank where I live, and I don't know if I can name drop, but United Community Bank in Canton really stepped up. They're a small bank, and they Tom Mason there is a very good contact, and I met him through a networking event with the Chamber of Commerce up there, and he listened to me, and he was the first banker or first person of a bank to listen to me, what I had to say, and showed him my business plan, and he didn't just kind of push me away, and he was there for me, and it's helped them, and it's helped me. And we built that relationship. And I kind of look back, like, in the, you know, the old days, your grandfathers could go up there and say, hey, I need a loan. They're like, all right, here you go. And, you know, later on in the economy, it kind of backfired on some of those people, but in the banks. But that's the kind of relationship we've started and have started to build. And it's been good. And it kind of feels like that personal, you know, they know where to find me. I got the money. I pay them. And if I need the cash flow, they listen to what I have to say, and they take it into consideration. And it's been a great relationship since.
Well, you know, it's funny when I listen to that, I just say, well, you know, what a novel concept. Listen to what your customers are trying to ask you. Gee, maybe we should write a book about that.
Yeah, hey, yeah. I'll be a co-author with you.
Yeah, I got a feeling there's a few in that space, but you could definitely add something unique, I'm sure. Any final thoughts for our listeners? How can you be reached?
I can be reached at 770-479-0615. That's the office number. And if you need, I can give you a quote pretty quick over the phone. It doesn't take long to figure out what you need as a private side of it. The commercial side, I would love to sit down and talk with anybody who's interested in having me protect their utilities. I have a lot of referrals, and my website is currently down. I'm going to have to talk to Bonnie, but it's www.markriteus.com. That's MARKRITEUS.com.
Wonderful.
Thanks, Brett.
Thank you.
Thanks for being with us today. I tell you, Mike, there are so many businesses out there that you just don't even think of. They're not on your radar screen until you either need them or you hear about them in the news. I mean, who would think? I mean, that's a big deal if you hit someone's gas line.
Absolutely. And I guess it just goes back to there's over 27 million businesses out there and a lot of industries that we'll probably never even know in our lifetime.
Yeah, it's so true. So true.
But next up, I've got Roger and Stacy Vaughn from D-Unity Consulting, LLC, a husband-wife team that are making things happen in Atlanta. So I wanted to welcome them both to the show.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Roger and Stacy, a husband and wife team. We get those on occasion, and before we even go any further, I've got to ask the question, how is it being in business with your spouse?
It's great. I like it.
Yeah? All right.
What she said, no. No, actually, it has been very fulfilling, and also in aspects of learning experience, because for the simple fact that you really get to know your spouse in a lot of ways you didn't think you would get to know them. And so it's been great. It's been really great.
Excellent. So tell us about your business, D-Unity Consultant.
We are a small business that helps small businesses get into government contracting, really focusing on federal contracts out there, especially right now with the market. And we always see this big challenge because Roger and I both worked for corporate America in the fact of helping small businesses would call us to say, we want to team up with you for a government contract, and they didn't know how. And so that has driven us to get to this point. And knowing that Atlanta's growing as it is, that's where we decided that this was a great place to focus.
And government contracting, I mean, I'm sure that there's a whole vocabulary and nuances that go along with that business for sure.
Oh, absolutely. One of the things that we always stress to our potential clients is, you know, it's a whole different beast, so to speak. It's a whole different segment in nature because there are so many acronyms that are involved, and if someone walked up to you and says, well, are you registered in CCR? And people will look at you like, well, what does that mean? So there are a lot of things. It is a learning process regardless to how long you've been in the business of doing federal contracting.
And it seems like the government, more than any other industry, there's a lot of paperwork and you have to really dot your I's and cross your T's.
Exactly. And a lot of them think that they have them all dotted and crossed. But when you have somebody like Roger and I who have the experience and been in the market, they don't always have it. As Bonnie was stating earlier about marketing, it is marketing yourself in a different market. You've got to learn how to speak the language or have the expertise to help, support.
Well, can you share with us, or Stacy and Roger, can you share with us a story on one of your clients? Because I really think stories really help paint the picture. and basically just help us with what their initial pain was, how you intervened, and what the end result was?
We just had a client recently saw a bid for a contract in Plains, Georgia to redo Jimmy Carter's boyhood home. And they have been in the commercial market for many years. They are what they call faux painters, specializing in paint that looks unique in that mass aspect. And so they do a lot of restoration. So they wanted to know how to bid more effectively and how to answer the questions without having to speak the commercial market, but more government market. And they unfortunately did not win the bid, but they did learn a great process of how they could be quicker on the bid aspects of it, and then also to talk about how good a teaming partner would have been for it, because they were very small.
Well, actually, they were actually second in line. They were, you know, it had the company that was awarded the bid had not been there, they would have been awarded it. But it goes to show you that even in the federal market, there's a lot of competition, especially now. And as you alluded to, there are 27 million businesses, you know, that are going on. Well, 600,000 of those are doing some type of federal contracting. So with the way the economy is now and where the commercial market is now, competition is at its all-time high.
Yeah, we definitely imagine that's the case. So is there anything that, looking back, you think, gosh, if only I had known, or I wish I knew now what I knew then when you were starting your business, what would that be? Anything that comes to mind?
No, actually, I don't think I would have changed anything.
Really?
No, because for the simple fact that sometimes you don't always learn things like you need to learn them, and sometimes very harshly and the hard way. So had I learned those things, our business may not have been quite as successful as it is going right now. So, that's just my feeling.
Well, and I also feel that it doesn't matter what degree you have or going to business school. It really is being your feet on the ground, rubbing shoulders with other small business owners to really understand what's out there. Because, we met at business school, and we thought it was great, but when you leave business school, it still doesn't tell you how to open the doors.
Right. Real-world experience.
Yes.
It's hard to get in school anywhere, really. So the stimulus money, I know there's been a lot of talk about that in the government. Has that affected people's willingness to work with you or the opportunities that exist?
Yeah, we have had several clients come and talk to us about, potential clients, about stimulus and money, but we also direct them on other aspects that they hadn't even thought about. A lot of them here in the Southeast don't realize the value of being here in the Southeast. There's just here in Georgia, to give you an example, there's 3 Army bases, 2 Air Force bases, and 1 Navy base, where some states only have 1 military base. And that does not include our National Guard or reserve units, and all of them always have government contracts that are out there. They just don't, a lot of small businesses don't understand how to get into that.
And they buy everything, too, right? I mean, they don't just buy, I always think of firearms, but, they buy everything. They buy paper and paper clips and toilet paper. I mean, I think that that's probably an important thing, too, to maybe communicate as far as purchasing on the government end. Can you maybe give us some examples?
Absolutely. There was one business, the owner, he had falcon birds, which are primarily a predatory bird. And apparently he was just having lunch one day and he was sitting beside someone, you know, at a coffee shop. And they talked about they were having issues with other birds on the flight lines, around the military installation. So to make a long story short, he talked about, what he does with his falcon birds. And as you know, there are predatory birds. So he ended up, let's put it this way, he ended up getting a 5-year contract that was worth about $2.5 million to fly his falcon birds on the flight line 3 times a day, 7 days a week, so that we don't have another Hudson incident.
Wow. Wow. Who wow. would think? Yeah.
I need to get myself some birds.
No doubt.
Well, and then there's one that just got awarded at Warner Robins. They use golf carts on the flight lines. Mm-hmm. And instead of using, you know, vehicles, because it gets very expensive. So they just awarded us, it's going to be about 7-year contract for a small business to do maintenance on 700 golf carts.
Wow.
And it's about, we think it's going to come out to be about $5 million.
Wow. Now, how do you keep up with all that? Because the government contracts, I mean, it's never like, it's not even seasonal. I mean, it's all over the place.
It is. A lot of it is relationship. Roger and I have spent many years working for, in the federal market. So a lot of people we've worked with there know that we're helping small businesses, and they love that fact that we can help them maneuver better because they struggle, too, to find good qualified small businesses.
Oh, I would imagine.
Now, are there actually times as part of your services when you'll be consulting with a potential client and it's just not worthwhile for them to pursue certain bids? Can you elaborate a little bit more on that?
Absolutely. Not every small business is built to do this. Mm-hmm. And one of the key things that we do in the very beginning is to sit down and do a pre-assessment of where they've been, where they are, and where they want to be. And sometimes the federal market is just not in the cards as at that particular time. It's not to say that they can't. It may be 6 months down the line. It may be a year down the line. But we always encourage small business, especially small business, to take a good hard look at their business practices, their business model, to see if it is going to actually be a great fit for the government market. Because as I alluded to, it is a whole different kind of language and lifestyle. Mm-hmm.
So let our listeners know, we may have some folks listening right now that think, gosh, I have a product or service. I never thought about it in the government arena. Maybe walk them through the process and how you work with them.
We have a 6-step process. And as Roger stated earlier, we do a pre-assessment with them, and it's an in-depth questionnaire kind of interviewing them as a company to see where they want to be. And then we do a registration. We help them make sure they get registered on 3 major databases in the government market besides big entities, because the government has 23% set aside for small business. So in 2009, we spent $5 billion on products and services, the government did. So 23% of that is $119 billion, if I'm right on my math.
Actually, it was $517 billion,
yeah,
with a B.
And but big businesses like Lockheed Martin up the street from us and Northrop Grumman, they have their set aside for small businesses at 37%. But they also have registration requirements that small businesses don't know and how to get that done. And then we help put them a corporate marketing resume. And it's totally different from commercial market. It speaks the language. It has codes on it. And it really talks about making sure, like, as Bonnie was talking earlier, you have to have a website this day and age. If you don't, you're not marketable at this point. So we really talk about that because government agencies, that's what they want to go find because they're not looking for people next door. They're looking for somebody maybe, you know, 10 miles, 50 miles from where the location is.
Right.
So it's a really in-depth process, and we do talk about marketing in a different aspect, but we also talk about teaming opportunities to other small businesses that maybe they can't do it because they're a one-man shop, but if they had worked with another company that's got 20 employees, then they both can win in that contract world.
Well, that's interesting. And with your referral source and your network, you can probably help team people up too.
Yeah, we do. We do what we call a marriage encounter.
Yeah. Gee, imagine that. Sounds like y'all have it figured out. No doubt. So any advice to our listeners as far as getting into that government arena when it seems very intimidating? How can you give us the soft encouragement that we need?
Well, just understand that as with most businesses, and that's been what I've been hearing today, and it speaks true, that it all is relationship built. And, you know, it doesn't happen. It's not going to happen overnight. Especially with the government. I always have this saying, sometimes, you know, you hit it and punch it in the nose in January and the tail will move in December, you know. But that being said, it is relationship-based, and once again, it goes back to taking a good hard look at yourself to understand if, in fact, you are clearly ready to take that on, because it does take a certain amount of commitment, persistence, and overly patience to succeed in this market. But if you can do that, you'll be pretty successful.
The The other thing we do, Amy, is a couple times a year, and we've been asked to do it more often, is to kind of give a 101, you know, government contracts, kind of get an overview. And we're going to be doing one in October 22nd at the Rome Business Center up the street here. So that will be something we'll be posting on our website so that people who just want to have the idea and to see if that's something they're really interested in. Because it's not for the faint of heart is what we say.
Right.
So it's real important that you understand that it's not something that happens quickly, but there's some great values that come back from it.
For sure. And I think that would be a very nice, non-threatening way for people to tap into it. Tell us again, it's at Rome?
Rome Business Cafe on Wynwood Parkway.
Okay.
And it will be on October 22nd.
What time?
We are in the midst of discussing that, but probably it will be around 9, 10 o'clock in the morning. That's a Friday. So, yeah.
Josh might want to go to that, too. You think about
Absolutely.
It. I mean, whether it comes to air conditioners, I mean, mm-hmm. it opens your eyes to so many different possibilities when you think in broad terms that, yeah, they like to keep it with small businesses. We've got a lot of fabulous small businesses here in Atlanta. Wow. Give us the information as to how folks can contact you.
Well, our website is www.d-unityllc.org. Our telephone numbers are 678-459-7427 or 678-459-7509. And like I said, just please feel free to visit our website and contact us if you would like to have any more information.
Terrific. Thanks for being our guest this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Great show, Mike. Thanks for bringing some wonderful folks in Atlanta onto the show. It's always fun to put a spotlight on Atlanta's businesses and those that stand out and shine. If you have any guests that you'd like to nominate or recommend for the Atlanta Business Radio Show, you can send me an email at amy@atlantabusinessradio.com. And Mike, thanks for coming on today.
Thanks for having me on. I really enjoyed it.
It's been wonderful.
And I've got a quick little plug as well, if I can.
Sure.
October 18th at Pure Taqueria over in Woodstock, there's going to be an open networking event for all industries from 6 o'clock to about 8:30. Anyone in the Woodstock or Roswell or Fulton or anywhere is more than welcome to come on by. The last time we had the event, we had 150 show up in a thunderstorm.
Oh, wow.
So if the weather's nice, we're expecting around 250 people.
Wow, and I love their food.
Oh, it's awesome.
A great spot.
Great environment.
Yeah, wonderful. To all of our listeners, thank you so much for listening. We hope you have a wonderful week. I'm Amy Otto with the Atlanta Business Radio Show.